Thank you. All righty. Okay.
The clock says it's 10.
It's 10 till 7. So, we've got till noon. So, we're good.
Yeah, it hadn't moved in about 3 days.
Okay. Well, 10 till 7. He just took it off. He's going to change that just now. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm sure he's going to set it to slower than what it's supposed to be. So, I'm looking for the trap door is what I'm looking for. There's a lot. Some churches have trap doors that at noon they just open up and you fall. Yeah, y'all ever see Ellen's show, the game show, whatever, and they fall through the trap door? That's it. You need to install one of those, Brother Sid. No, because then you'd be caught. But it is good to be here today. Yes, I do come, and I do say I live in Texas. I'm not from Texas. I live in Texas. I'm from Arkansas, okay? Matter of fact, and Luke is with me. Look at there. They got a new battery in that thing and got it set to about, let's see. Yeah, he set it 4 minutes faster than what my watch is. So, yeah. I was actually born in Fayetteville, see? So, I mean, how can I be anything but a Razorback, right? Now, my mom, and she never told me this, but I know it had to happen. My mom went into labor with me at Barnhill, okay? Because my parents went to a Razorback basketball game on Saturday night. I was born at 10:15 Sunday morning. I was the first child. So you know she had to be in labor at Barnhill, right? So if I was almost born in Barnhill Arena, I have to be a Hog forever, right? And I have three boys that were born and raised in Texas, and they're the biggest Hog fans you'll ever meet. So I do raise my children right, okay? So... In fact, that is why we're here. Luke is with me. He's up there contributing to the delinquency of Seth and Will. Or is it the other way around? I don't know, guys. But he's such a Razorback fan that his biggest Christmas present was he got tickets to some Razorback baseball games. So we're going to make a few trips up here and let this boy see what it's all about. But I am very glad to be here today. Yes, he did introduce me as the Vice President of Advancement. Just know that I do the exact same thing I did when I was called Treasurer, okay? So I am, you may work for a place like that where they give titles and not raises. Yeah, so I've had several titles over the last few years. I'm now Vice President of Advancement. Whenever it's time for another raise, I'm sure I'll get a better title. But we are very excited about the things that are going on at Texas Baptist Institute and Seminary. The Rees had an opportunity to come down and visit with us here a few months ago, and we were very happy to have them. We'd love to have the rest of you come. It's not a bad place, is it? We eat well, if nothing else, right? So, and by the way, some of you may know, any of y'all at Sam's? Any of y'all ever shop at Sam's? Okay, when you go to Sam's next time, go over in the meat department. Over in the meat department, you'll see the whole barbecue brisket already done. All you got to do is warm it up, okay? That's Sadler's Barbecue, okay? Sadler's Barbecue is made about a mile from our campus, okay? So if you don't know, you say, I don't know anything about Henderson, Texas. Lie again. Now you go to Sam's, I can take you to Mr. Sadler's house, all right? So there's Henderson, Texas, to give you something to refer to. Now this picture you see here, by the way, we're debuting new technology here today. Some of y'all heard of Alexa, you know, where you say Alexa and it does something for you. Today it's Will, right? Is it Will or say it's Will? Okay, so I'm going to say Will, advance the slide, and it's going to happen. Okay, so no, not yet. So, but this is a little aerial picture, part of our campus. We've been very blessed. We have about a 10-acre campus there. With what you see there in the front is our administration building, classroom building, this kind of thing. Then we have student housing. We have a park back there and other things. So we've been very blessed with that over the years to be able to have that. Okay, Will, advance the slide. Look at that. See, what technology. But here's our mission statement. Just in case you wonder what we're about. Texas Baptist Institute and Seminary equips saints to do the work of the ministry through a biblically based higher education in harmony with the Bible doctrines of the American Baptist Association to advance the kingdom of God through the local church ministry of fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, one question that I get asked about this is they say, wow, we set the tone, right? So, One question I get asked, well, okay, so you say the Bible Doctors of the American Baptist Association, that means only ABA people can come there. That's not true. We're saying this is the Bible doctrines that we hold to, okay? In other words, don't you have to have a standard that you go by, okay? So that's our standard. In other words, if you want to know what the answer needs to be on the test, there you go. You can believe and teach what you want, but this is going to be the answer at our place, okay? But we're there to do that. Why do we do that? Because we believe that that's the doctrine that we need to believe. If we didn't believe that, then why not? And now I do know other schools out there who they just let their instructors decide what they want to teach. No, that's not the way we're going to be. We're going to say this is a standard. You can believe what you want, but you're going to teach this, okay? So that gives us a standard. But that's what we're really all about. We'll go ahead to the next thing there. Now, what do we offer? We offer degrees all the way from associate degrees all the way to a doctorate of ministry, okay? We have been in the process of revamping all of that. We are constantly trying to change and grow. But you notice that little line down at the bottom, because some of you are going, why do I care about this? Well, this little line down at the bottom says we also offer Bible certificates. Out there on one of the tables in the lobby area, there's some brochures like these. I would challenge all of you to pick one of these up, because this Bible certificate program is designed for everybody. Okay? We have people all the time, but you know, I'd really like some more Bible education, but I'm not really after a degree. You know, I'm not going to do that. This is a program designed just for that. We took some of our associate level classes, we put them there. It's all online. Classes last 12 weeks at a time. And by the way, people say, well, you know, I don't really like school. Well, let me tell you, this is school like you always wanted, because it's a school with no grades. Okay? You like no grades? Is that a good thing? But what this is it's more like you're auditing the class, okay? And it's more of a guided study through a particular, you know, part of the Bible or a particular area of ministry or something like that. So I challenge you to pick that up and look at it. We offer these. You take eight of these over a two-year period, and you receive the Bible certificate. Like I said, they're 12 weeks at a time. You take one at a time, four a year. It's pretty good pace. And, you know, I was kind of curious. We started offering this past year, and I was kind of curious how it really was, because I'm not on the student side. I'm on the administrator side. And on the student side, I've run into two people recently who are doing this, and they said, let me tell you, said that has changed my life. So because it's not so much... It's that I'm studying the Word, and I'm learning new things. And said it's really changed the way I look at the Bible, okay? Very affordable. All classes are $75 a piece. Books are, you have a book or two, they're going to run you about $20, $25. So it's about $100 a class. So it's affordable, and it's, like I say, you don't have to worry about did I pass or not. The pass thing is, did you keep up? did you take care of what you need to do and go through the study? So, but all the other degrees are there available as well. And I will say this, that we have had it this year, but we're doing it officially this coming school year. All of our curriculum is available online. And all of our curriculum is not available just as an online, like kind of a digital correspondence class. It's actually available with every classroom is equipped with live stream video. So if you can join the class when the class is being taught on our campus, you join it and you actually participate in the conversation. So you're there on the screen, and it's just like you're there. You just happen to be on the screen instead of in one of the chairs at one of the tables in the classroom. If you can't join live at that time, then that video from the class period of that day is recorded. And that afternoon, it's uploaded to the class, and typically by that evening, if, say, you were working during the day, you couldn't attend class during the day, typically by the time you would get home from work, it's available for you to watch, okay? So that is, and there are, in the Bible certificate courses, there are lectures as well, okay? So it's not just read and write or whatever. You actually get a lecture, and you get involved in, you can hear the class discussion if you're watching the recorded video. So that's an element of an online program that a lot of schools are not doing. I'm personally in a master's program at another school right now, and we don't have that element. And I miss that, because all I'm doing is I read and I write and I read and I write and I read and I write. And I'm like, well, I'm basically teaching myself, you know, because I'm getting no instruction from anybody else. So that's what we're trying to do, that a little differently. And like I said, our curriculum is available online. So if you know someone who's interested in any of these programs like this, let them know. You don't have to leave Northwest Arkansas and move to Texas. Now, we'd love to, obviously, on campus, in person, live is still the best way. But this is another option, and we're trying to do that. Go ahead, Will. Now, we hold membership status with the American Baptist Association of Theological Schools. As you know, that we have, you may know that we have several schools that are affiliated with churches in the American Baptist Association, and we have a little organization that we are a member of. In fact, we meet every year at our national meeting, and then every 2 years we have another meeting. Well, a couple of weeks we'll be meeting over in Norman, Oklahoma again, and it's just a place where we share ideas and talk about what we're doing and that kind of thing. So we're a member of that. But also, go ahead, Will. We have you. When I was here before, I told you we were in the accreditation process. We have never since we've been around since 1948, but we never saw students right and left because people have been trained. In this day and time, the first question they ask is it accredited? And if you say no, they walk out. They don't know what accredited means, and they don't know if they need it. Okay, accredited typically means that, well, this is a school that people will recognize and I can get a job. Okay, well, I've had people ask me, well, how does your job placement services work at your school? I said, well, typically, if you enroll in our school, in about 2 weeks, you got churches calling you, asking you if you're ready to come and be on staff at their church. Okay, we never have job placement problems. There's more churches looking than there are people available. Trust me, it is a buyer's market. Okay, but so the idea of accreditation still for being able to get a job, it's not necessary. However, because we saw that we were just losing all these potential students, we said, you know, we need to check into this. So we started in 2015 as an applicant with the Association for Biblical Higher Education. They accredit about 150 schools in the United States and Canada that represent about 55,000 students. And so some of the ones, maybe Moody Bible College, you may be familiar with, they're accredited by them. But we've been working for 4 years now, and last month we went and sat before the Commission on Accreditation in Orlando, Florida. Think congressional hearing, and we were at the little table, okay? And we had a site visit team with six people from all over the country who came in for 3 days to examine everything. And they made a recommendation, and then we went before the commission, and they granted us candidate status. So after 4 years of very hard work and quite a bit of money, we have finally moved to candidate status. Now, candidate status is a pre-accredited status. We can't say accredited yet, but what they say is that, yes, you have met the standards. And we do officially become recognized by the Department of Education. And there are things that kick in for our students at that point. But it will probably be another 4 years before we hit initial accreditation. This is not an easy process. And it's probably altogether, including a complete remodel of our library we did, it's probably going to cost us $600,000 or $700,000 altogether to do this. Okay, but we saw it as that was that important. And that's why we have faculty back in school. I didn't intend to be a student this time. I had really liked being the teacher instead of the student. But I'm back in school, as well as several others, to help get more credentials. And so, but this candidate status is a very large deal. This is huge. Every time that we have talked to someone in higher education and said we reached candidate status, they either stop and applaud, or they go, wow, that's awesome, that's great, because they understand what a struggle it is to get there. One other thing that this does, even at candidate status, we had a major seminary that's outside of our work that a lot of people respect around the country, who we had a former student who was taking some classes there, and their registrar called our school the week after we achieved candidate status, and he said, hey, this guy tells me y'all are going through the accreditation process. Said, where are you? And said, well, we reached candidacy last week. He said, okay, great. We'll take all of his credits from your school. Okay? So that's a big deal. Okay? Transferability of credits and those kinds of things. So that's where we are in that process, and we're still not there yet, but we have achieved a level that says we have done something, and that we have been recognized, and we're on the path, and we hope to move forward even more. Will, you're up now, okay? And one of the things, and I have this slide in here, this represents some of our international students that we have on campus. We currently have students from 5 countries, I believe it is, and a 6th one on the way. And, you know, this candidacy status and recognition by the Department of Education helps us tremendously in being able to keep this status, okay? Being a non-accredited school, it's very difficult to keep the status to have international students since September 11th happened. And so this helps us with stuff like that. So you see those faces, those students breathe a sigh of relief, said, okay, maybe we can stay here for the rest of our education. And so we're very happy about that. Go ahead, Will. We also have status with the Veterans Administration. So GI Bill and all that kind of stuff, students are able to use that with us. But I hope you already know this, that a Bible education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. Okay? That's what will change the world. Other stuff attempts to. This is what makes the real change. Go ahead, Will, to the next thing. So, how can you help? Well, I put all we put several things here. Go ahead, Will, just hit that. Pray for a TBI family. We got a lot of stuff happening. You know, you talked about your prayer request stuff here. We have all that. We are a little family there, you know. We have that kind of stuff happening, but we have people that are going through a lot of stuff. Go ahead to the next one there. You can pray for those considering TBI. We hear from potential students pretty regularly. And so, you know, as they consider, as they're making a choice of school, pray for them because they're making a big commitment in their life. Go ahead to the next one there. Growth means financial challenge. So I'm here primarily to tell you thank you for how you already participate in this. And let me tell you what people like you who donate, let me tell you what that does. We keep our tuition. Our tuition is less than our stated full tuition rate is less than most junior colleges. Okay? Our stated tuition rate is $125 a credit hour. Okay? Most junior colleges are at least $150 in that range. Most four-year colleges are going to be more like $250 to $500. Okay? And you go to private schools, now you're talking $500 to $1,000 a credit hour and more. Okay? We're at $125. Now what else does that mean? What else that means, though, is that's our stated tuition rate, but those who come to us recommended by ABA churches, because ABA churches are who, and people affiliated with ABA churches are who primarily are our donors, we offer if they come recommended by ABA church, they get an ABA scholarship that represents a 50% discount off of the $125. Now find a school that's on the path to accreditation where you can get an education that cheap. It's not possible. A private school, it's not possible. So, at $62.50 a credit hour, that's pretty cheap. And then there are other scholarships available off of that for those who have certain levels of achievement. So that's what, and so our goal is this, is that we want a student, when they graduate from us, we want them to go do what God wants, not what they have to do to go to pay off student loans. Okay? And you know how that is. Some of you know how that is. You end up with student loans, and now you got to go find a job going to help you pay that off. So we have people in ministry that do the same thing. I got to go find me a ministry job to pay off my student loans. We don't want that. We want, if God's calling them to Zimbabwe to be a missionary, go to Zimbabwe because you don't have that debt. Okay? So that's what your donations, that's what that does for us. Go ahead, Will. Our financial support comes from three sources: churches, tuition, individual donations. But I'll mention this as well. Some of you may know, and by the way, having different statuses and different recognitions like our status with the accrediting agency helps us with this. But some of you may know foundations or companies or individuals who, you know, they're willing to give some money to something like this. If that's the case, let us know. We'd love to go and visit with them. We'd love to talk to them and, you know, let them be a part, because we've got big plans and we're really growing. We've tripled our enrollment in the last 7 years, and we're planning on tripling that again in the next 7 years. Well, you know what that means. That means we got to grow. It means we got to build things, and we got to hire people, and we've got to do stuff. I can tell you, we have a phenomenal staff of people and a phenomenal staff and faculty and administrators that they do way more than what a person should do in their job. And they do it because they love it and because of the ministry and the difference that it makes. But we're going to get them some help eventually, because we're going to break them if we're not careful. So, but that's what your support does, and that's what we're out trying to raise more of to keep this going and still be able to keep our tuition rate as low as possible. Okay? That's what we're about. Go ahead, Will, to the next thing. You can come visit us. We have special days. And by the way, we have a Facebook page. We live stream our chapel services on Facebook. And they're there. And if you can't join it live, they're archived on there as well. So you can join, like our Facebook page. You can go and watch those chapel services. Then we have the Antiquity Encounter Museum. That's worth the drive right there. It's about 2,600 artifacts. Some of them date back to the time Adam and Eve were alive on the earth. And you can come take a tour of that museum. And I guarantee it's worth the price of admission, because all tours are free. Okay? So we'd be happy for you to come down and do that sometime. And just come see us. Come see what you've invested in. You know, you like to see what you're doing. So come see what you've invested in. Then finally, go ahead, Will, to the next thing there. How to find us? Yeah, there we go. Website, Facebook, Twitter. Yeah, and then we have physical stuff too, okay? So, and I've got brochures out there that have all that on it. You want to find us that way, feel free to do so. Let us know how we can do that. Go ahead, Will. I think the next one's going to be it. Yeah. So that's TBI. We refer to as TBI. That's what we do. Again, I thank you so much for what you're already doing, and I just ask you to continue, and we're excited about what God is doing, and we look forward to many more things, because let me tell you, what we're doing where we are is we're the launching point. And we now have missionaries and pastors all over the world as a result of the ministry of our school over the last 70 years. And so it does make a difference. And this is what you can do to change the world. Okay? Now, speaking of changing the world, you didn't come to hear about just this today, did you? So open to Psalm 51. Because here's the thing. We talk about changing the world, and we bring the lights up so they don't sleep on me. But we talk about, Luke, can you do that? You know where a switch is? Oh, no, we got it right here. But we talk about changing the world. Well, you know, sometimes I heard the story about the guy that put in the sandwich shop, and he said, best sandwiches in the world. Well, there was a guy on the other corner had a sandwich shop. And he said, on the other corner, they're all on the same block. There's three of them on the same block. And he said, best sandwiches in the city. And then the third guy said, well, I got to come up with something better than that. So he said, best sandwiches on the block. Okay? So this one said best in the world. This one said best in the city. This one said best on the block. Here's the thing. If you don't start with your block, you're never going to get to the world. Are you? Okay. So I look around, and I hear people say, you know, I'm in churches all the time. I'm in various churches. I'm with various pastors and missionaries, and I've had the opportunity to travel literally all over the world. And I always hear people say, oh, we just want to spread the gospel. We just want to reach more people. We just want to do all that. Does that sound familiar? I hope you hear that around here, right? You know, we love to spread, but aren't we guilty sometimes? Oh, we want to spread the gospel around the world. Well, what about your block? Amen. What about right here? Because here's the thing. If we don't start here, then we can't go there, right? You know, I tell people all the time, I was in charge of a mission project in the Amazon jungle of Peru for about 6 years. And I tell people, you realize that the work that you do here is twice as important as the work I'm doing there? What do you mean, man? Why is that? Well, because it's people like this group of people, like this church, who support those mission works. If this dies, it not only affects here, it affects here and there, doesn't it? So the better this does, the better that can do. Okay, so what you do here is twice as important, because if what I was doing in the Amazon, if it died, it just affected there. If this dies, it affects here and there. Wow, that's twice as important, isn't it? So how important is it of what we do right here at home? Because I hear people say, well, I'm just stuck here at home. I get stuck. I don't get to go do all that stuff, whatever. No. You get to stay here. You get this opportunity. This is your privilege to stay here. Now, you say, well, yeah, but I want to change the world, but I'm not doing it. I don't see any result. Well, are you following the plan? Are you following the formula? Did you know there is an actual formula for how you ensure that people will listen to what you teach? Do you know there's a formula? We're going to look at that today. It's in Psalm 51. It's not a miracle. It's not something that's just mystical. It's really there. So look in Psalm 51. Now this is a psalm of a prayer. It's a psalm of someone trying to be restored. It's David trying to be restored from his sin with Bathsheba. That's really what it's about. But I want you to look. Look at verse 10. Let's see where this starts. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Where does it start? It starts inside me, doesn't it? Amen. If my inside is not right, I can't even begin. If my inside is wrong, I'm never going to be a positive influence. But I want you to notice something. I hear people say this. Well, I'm trying to clean my life up, and when I get it all cleaned up, then I'll... Is that what that verse said? What's the first word of that verse? Create. Who's the creator? Amen. Is it you? Is it me? Yeah, I create lots of stuff. It's called messes, right? Anything I create, it's going to turn out to be a mess, probably, okay? Somewhere down the line, unless I get some help. But the creator, the one who creates perfectly, is who? It's God. What did he say? Create in me a clean heart, who? Oh, God. God, create. And God, do what? Renew a right spirit in me. Who's doing the creating and the renewing? God is. If you're out there trying to fix your mess, you're just going to make a bigger mess, probably. Oh, you may make, let me ask you this, let's see. We're in March, right? It's March 17th. By the way, Luke, we got to be sure and call Isaac. My middle son's birthday is today. Okay, but we celebrated Friday before we left. But anyway, where did I go with that? So, but we're going to create. We've got to create. We're in March, middle of March. Did any of you make any New Year's resolutions about 2.5 months ago? Oh, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to, I heard somebody say, well, here's how to keep your New Year's resolution. I resolve this year I'm going to gain weight. Okay? You never hear anybody say that, right? But man, I can accomplish that one, right? Well, I'm going to get less healthy. I'm going to eat worse. I'm going to, I can make some resolutions I can keep, right? But no, we don't do that. We say, no, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to exercise, and I'm going to get healthy, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to get smarter, I'm going to do... Now, we're at March 17th. How many of you, how you doing? How are those resolutions working out for you? I hear people say, oh, I'm going to read my Bible through this year. They start on January 1st, going to read my Bible through in a year. And by January 4th, they're so far behind they'll never catch up, so they quit. I know, Brother Sid didn't tell me about you. I know, that's just us, right? So when we try to clean it up, when we try to make it right, usually doesn't work, does it? About the only time that really works is when that doctor says, you do this or die. And still then, it doesn't work all the time, right? So who needs to do the creating and the renewing? The one who actually can make it work, right? God, you create in me. You renew in me. When we start there, guess what's going to happen? It can actually work. it can actually happen when we start there. Okay? But we have to, and by the way, you say, well, God can do that? Of course he can, whatever. Yeah, but you know why he doesn't? Because we get in the way. When we say, God, I'm going to move out of the way and let you do it in me, we're the stumbling block. So we got to get out of the way and say, God, do that. Then look at verse 11. He says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know what that's really saying? He's recognizing his place. You do realize that the Creator that we're talking about created you and me. And you do realize how he created the entire universe, right? He thought it. So he can think and create you. Guess what? That probably means, no, it doesn't probably mean, it does mean he can think and you're gone. Poof. You're out of here. What's he saying right there? Don't cast me away and don't take away your Holy Spirit. He's saying, I realize without you, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. You're everything. Do we ever get that mixed up? Do we ever forget our place? Oh, God, I got this one. No, we don't say that because that would be actually acknowledging him at all, right? We just don't even acknowledge him at all. We just go after it. No, we don't even acknowledge him. We just, I got this. No, we don't. Without him, I'm a pile of dirt. And not even a very big pile. You know, it always amazes me when somebody's cremated. I'm on creation thing. All right, let's go to the other side. Let's cremate, okay? You know, you take a whole body, you cremate it. How much is left? They put it in little bitty bottles, don't they? It's not much. Even a big person's not much. You realize that's what you are without God? You're a pile of dirt. You can be swept up in the dustpan. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean you're not special because God chose you and God's going to empower you. That's what makes you special. So what do we have to do? We have to say, God, create in me this, renew this in me, and get me out of the way and help me remember where I belong in the pecking order of life. I'm not making this up, Emma, Brother Sid. I'm just reading, right? I'm just reading. Okay, so let's read a little more. Look at verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Is it possible to be a child of God, a saved person, and not have joy? If you don't agree, if you think the answer to that's no, look around. There is nothing I hate worse than a disgruntled Christian. Now, by the way, I don't know what gruntled is, okay? But we always hear about the disgruntled postal worker and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I a lot of times, I know my post office people. I walk in the post and I say, are y'all gruntled today? You know, I don't want a disgruntled postal worker, right? But I don't want a disgruntled preacher or Christian. I know a lot of disgruntled preachers, don't you, Brother Sid? You ever ask somebody who's a Christian, well, how's it going? Well, I'm just hanging in there. I'm keeping my nose above water, just about to overcome me. Really? What? Now, am I saying that Christians, everything's going to be happy and lovely? No, but even when things aren't happy and lovely, can you still have joy? Joy is not happiness. I don't have to be happy to have joy. What did you say, Miss Jenny? Is that her name? Just died? It would be ludicrous to go to her visitation or her funeral and laugh. I mean, she's probably maybe a happy person. You'd want to reminisce about that. But to be happy about, but you can have joy because you know from her testimony where she is. We were talking about our dads today. Both our dads died when they were 65. You know, our worst day of my life was my dad's funeral. But I remember I was there with my family. I said, "Listen, folks, the building was out the door." And I said, "We cannot go out. Yes, this is the worst day in the history of our family, and we are they're devastated. But we can't go out there and not be people of hope. Amen. No matter how bad it is, you still have hope if you're a child of God." But we get it mixed up. Joy is not happiness. Joy is internal. Joy is regardless of what's going on, we still have it. Because we have hope. Years ago, I was reading about, there's what's known as the cushion of the sea. And you may now, with all the documentaries and the deep diving equipment and all this stuff you can see now, you may have seen something like this. Where they go down, you know, in the very depths of the deepest of oceans, they found that the stuff down there gives evidence that the water there and the environment there has not moved in hundreds of years. It's perfectly still. Okay? Any of you ever been to the ocean? What's the ocean like on top, on the surface? It's constantly in turmoil, right? The ocean never rests. It's constant turmoil. And then on top of that, there's been wars fought. There's been all this other stuff happens on the surface, right? But down here at the bottom, nothing changes. Nothing moves. The joy that we have that God gives is like that cushion of the sea. Yes, there may be wars and pestilence and turmoil and everything else going out here on the surface. But on the inside, I've got joy. That stuff doesn't rob me of my joy. But how many Christians are there out there who've lost their joy? David said he had. What did he say? In verse 12, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." By the way, it's not my salvation. It's His salvation. He saved me. I didn't save myself. Okay? He says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Why in the world would that be so important in the idea that we're going to be able to make a difference in the world? Well, this is another thing I've been told. I've been told rats do not jump on a sinking ship. If the ship of your life seems to be going down, the rats of this world are not going to want to find out what you're doing to be successful. Right? No. If I'm a person of joy, people want to know what's different about me. Because if you've looked around lately, there's not a lot of joy in this world. And let's back that up. There's not a lot of joy in Fort Smith. We're going to get personal about it, right? And I ain't spent much time here, but I'm going to guess Fort Smith's about like where I live, okay? Not a lot of joy. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of... I don't even want to make the list. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But there's very little joy. If we're people of joy, are we different? You know, the Scripture says we're to be a peculiar people. And we look around and go, yeah, we're pretty peculiar. Yeah, but you know, that means be a different people. But we can be different in a good way. That's what we should be, is different in a good way. This is how we're different. We're people of joy in a world full of not joy, whatever that is. Wow. Are y'all watching this formula here? I know, you know, some of you may not have been in science class or algebra class in a while, but there's a formula here, okay? Well, so the first thing is, God, you renew, you create a right spirit in me. God, please, I'm putting myself where I belong, which is way below you, okay? I'm nothing. You're the man. I'm not. And then, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And what else? And uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore and uphold. Are you starting to see a trend here? Who's doing all the work? Who's doing all the work? God's doing all the work. Wait a minute. You mean we're making this too hard? I think so. We're making it too hard. We're out here. We're just fighting, fighting, fighting. He says, whoa, let me do it. Some of y'all are good at mechanics or building stuff or whatever, and y'all see people like me, and after a while, you're like, just move. Let me do it. You're just making a mess. I'm not an IT person, but I'm not afraid to touch a computer, so I get to be the IT person at work. And so, you know, there's just times I walk in and they're like, this thing won't work and it's doing it. And I'm just like, just move. Here, let me do that. Y'all relate to some of that? Some of y'all good cooks, y'all see people like me and they're like, oh, just please move. You're making such a mess and you're not getting anywhere while you're making it. Okay? That makes sense? Guess what? That's the picture of us. We're out here just working ourselves to death, and God's like, just move and let me do it. And I'll do it through you. You know, I told you I was in charge of a mission project in the Amazon jungle of Peru. You know what the thing about it is in the Amazon jungle of Peru? They speak Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. I finally learned how to order at Taco Bell, okay? Numero dos, okay? That's number two, okay? All right? That's about the limit of my Spanish. No, wait a minute. Guess what else? I'm not a good camper. I don't like camping. I don't mind it, but I don't really like it. I like being outdoors and I like to hunt and do other things, but I'm not good at it. So let's see. We're going to take a guy who can't speak the language, who doesn't understand how to do things in the jungle and all that, and we're going to put him in charge. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You know what it did? It let it happen to say, you know what? God did all that. I couldn't take credit for it. How could I? Because I couldn't do anything. I just happened to be the one who said, okay, let's get some people here and let's make this happen. You know what's happened as a result of that? Now there are two families living down there who are learning how to do it all, who are making it work. I just had to be the one that went, okay, let's try. And I had to say, God, just keep me out of the way and help me find the right people to put in the right places so they can do what they do. And God did that through me. And I'd have people say, oh, you're doing such great work down there in Amazon. I'm like, really? You really have no idea what's going on down there, do you? I'm just the pretty face, okay? Okay, maybe I'm the face. But, you know, that's all God wants from us. He just wants us to be the hands, the feet, the mouth. The face. It's all he needs from us. He's going to do the work. You do realize that we're plan A for him. And there's no plan B. Either we do it or it doesn't get done. So is it getting done? I think a lot of times not. So here we are. He says, God, you created me a clean heart. You renew a right spirit in me. Help me know my place in this whole thing. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. and uphold me with your free spirit. And then look at verse 13. What's the first word of verse 13? Then. What does that mean? That means that all this other stuff has to happen. Then, this is an if-then kind of thing, all right? If this, then that. If I had invested in Walmart in 1968 and held on to the stock till now, then I would be rich. Okay, we understand if-then, all right? But since I didn't do that, then I'm not rich. Okay? We understand the if-then thing, all right? So, if we allow God to do these things in us, then what will happen? Look at verse 13. Then will I, look at where the first thing comes in. I. Now I'm going to do something. Okay? God's going to do all this in me, then I get to do something. What do I get to do? Then I will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now, what does this world need? The world needs conversion, doesn't it? The world needs Jesus. We sing that song, but Jesus really is the answer for our world today. That's not just a song somebody made up. Okay? So if Jesus is the answer, and we are plan A for how they're supposed to hear about the answer, then how does that happen? It happens by us following the formula. Amen. And look at how good this is. It really doesn't even require us to do much. Amen. It requires allowing someone else to do it through us. Amen. He's going to do the heavy lifting. Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Y'all didn't know that formula was there, did you? You've read it before. You've heard it before. But we got to be reminded, don't we? And before you go out and say, whoa, you preached such a great message. All I did was read the Bible to you. Isn't that all I did? I didn't do anything. I'm a nobody. I just read it and said, look at what it says. You see it. His word's not mine. That's the best sermon, isn't it? When it's His word's not mine. If it's mine, it's not going to mean a whole lot. But it's His. So what do we got to do? We say, God. First thing is we have to acknowledge God, right? And we say, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Then restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Some of y'all may have that memorized. And some of y'all may have sung the song. There's a song that uses these verses. But you didn't realize that was a formula. That's the way to make it work. Frustrated with your spiritual life? Frustrated you're not able to see people converted as a result of your life? Amen. Open the owner's manual. It'll work. The Creator left us a manual. Amen. And yes, right here, Psalm 51. This is a man who was the man after God's own heart. And he was at the lowest place of his life as far as being effective for God. This was his prayer. Now, I'm going to hope, I don't know, but I'm going to hope that most of you are not in as low a place as he was. So if you're not as in low a place as he was, then you already got a head start on him. But guess what? We all have to follow the same formula. We all have to do it. So what does all that mean, and what does all that say? Kind of brings us to a decision, doesn't it? And we have this, what we call an invitation.